Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
So blessed with all the children we have here. Amen? All right, you can be seated. Oh, it's a good day. Amen? Anybody got a burning testimony that you desire to share with us today? I see one way back there. Come up here. Give her the mic, Dan, if you would.
I just kind of wanted to follow up on what Apostle was talking about, the tithes and the offerings. And I've just stand on what the Word says. And the Word says that a good man leaves an inheritance
to
his children's children.
Yes.
And that the wealth of the sinner is saved up for the righteous. And I just want to testify. My husband was a tither and a giver. And I've been blessed. He left an inheritance, not just monetary, for me to be taken care of, but he left an inheritance of his children and his grandchildren and now great-grandchildren. And I just want to say, God's word does not return to him void. Never. Mm-hmm. And as you plant that seed, you will reap a reward.
Yes.
You may not live to see it, but it continues. And it isn't just for one season. It continues to grow and to multiply. Last week, we dedicated my great-grandbaby, my third great-grandbaby. And I got to see the rewards of that inheritance, because that's the inheritance. Not just, like I said, the monetary, which is a blessing, but to see my children and Jim's children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren now profiting from that.
Yes.
So I encourage you. You know, it's not a duty. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Because there's days that are lean days that are hard maybe to go ahead and make that tithe. But the abundance that comes from those sacrifices just continue and continue. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that, because I've lived it. I'm living it. And they're going to continue to live it.
Amen. Wow. Would someone get me a water, please? I'm going to need a water today. It's almost like Dodie knew my message today. I'm actually going to talk about children today. You know, how many of you realize that everything about Christmas is about a child? Unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. And today we're going to be doing a baby dedication of a wonderful little girl to a great couple who are becoming a part of this house very much so. And so I just want to focus on some things that we need to understand. You know, I believe it's true that it takes a village to raise a child. Amen? You know, part of the problem with all the crime that's going on in the earth today is we've quit caring. Now, I was raised, Susan and I this afternoon are going to be traveling back to the town that we were raised in, Wheatley, Arkansas. Population probably now just over 300. Back in its big day was up to 400. And they're doing a memorial dedication today for all the veterans that lived there. And her dad is one of those. And so her and Dawn and I will be traveling back and be there today. But, you know, when I was a child and not even having Christian parents, if I misbehaved, I remember, no, I don't just remember. If I misbehaved, my mother got 7 or 8 calls from all the other women in town. And I probably at some time was disrespectful to them and called them gossips. But the truth of the matter is, that's where we need to come back to. And I want to drill into you today that what we have done is we are handing our rights as parents over to the government. I remember when there was a, years ago, every night at 10 o'clock on the news channel that we watched, either out of Memphis or Little Rock, both of them did it, said, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are? Now, I come from, I'm going on 63 this next year, and so I'm a little bit older than many of you that's in this room, but I'm here to tell you that my dad and them all the time knew where I was when I was a child. Do you know where your children are at? And even curfews today. You know, how many of you saw the lady, I think was up in Baltimore during the riots, and she caught her son there misbehaving? I was very proud of that lady. That's the kind of mom or dad that we need in children's life. And, I mean, she frailed him pretty good. And nobody arrested her for child abuse. He learned some respect that day. And so children are a gift from God. Do you know that your children are simply on loan to you from God? Amen? They're there in your life for a reason, and God wants us to be aware of that. How many of you believe that God is seeking to change this nation? How many of you believe if we can work on the children? I was in a meeting recently, predominant pastors and leaders from all across the city, probably about 70 of us there. I don't in any way want to dishonor this meeting, but they were talking about all the gang crimes and all the things that are going on and all the stuff that's there, and they were talking about literacy, and how many of you know that is an issue? And they were talking about if we can just get education up to another level. And I was sitting there, and I pulled up this story by William Raspberry. He used to do a syndicated column for the Washington Post, and it's about the rhinos over in the white rhinos over in Africa. And I'm somewhat new in this group, and I'm being honest with you, the group is predominantly black, and I try to be wise when I speak about racial issues or issues, because today, you know, I have noticed that we are growing in color, and I'm proud of that because I believe that's what God wants in this house. It's a multiracial, multi-ethnic group house. It's filled with different cultures, and we're seeking to do that. And I was sitting there just on the edge of my seat asking God, do I say something and become controversial, or do I remain quiet? And thank God there was a black pastor there that finally said, I'm listening to all that you're saying. And what you're talking about is dealing with the symptoms. You're not talking about dealing with the root of the problem. And he began to address the problem was the very fact that it was talking about fatherless homes and mothers who were overwhelmed and mothers who didn't care and young women who were so desperate for a father's love that they looked for love in all the wrong places. And afterward, I just began to read, and I just began to read this column to them, because in Africa, they discovered a bunch of white rhinos who had just been slaughtered. And when they found these white rhinos, they first wondered about it and thought the poachers had done it for the ivory. But then as they gave closer examination, they noticed the ivory was still there. And so the only thing they couldn't discover, what the rhino really doesn't, other than man, have a natural predator. And so they put up cameras and they discovered that there were young bull elephants that were attacking them. They were picking up logs. They were stomping them. And the elephant and the rhino in the normal habitat are very peaceful towards each other. And so they began to research, and they finally sedated some of the young bull elephants, and they tested their testosterone. And it was 40 times higher than normal. And they researched a little bit further, and they discovered where the root was. 20 years prior to that, there was a part of Africa that was overcome with elephants, and they couldn't transport the big, massive bull elephants there because they didn't have trucks and ability to do so. So they took the young elephants and they moved there, most of them being young bull elephants. And these young bull elephants had grown up with no mature male influence. And their testosterone had went through the roof. Twenty years later, they now had trucks and trailers, and railroads had been built. They had the ability, and they began to take and ship. They killed a few of the young bull elephants that were so aggressive, one of them being named Tom Thumb. I don't know why they named him that, but I remember from the article. And they transported these older, mature bull elephants there. And they began to get around the young ones, and they couldn't bully the older ones. And the old male stepped up. And I'm not in any way being crude. I don't want to be offensive to you, but the old males knocked those young ones on their butt. And about 60 days after these young males were moved, these older males were moved in among the young ones, they went back and sedated them again and tested their testosterone. It was bound to normal levels. Raise up a child in the way they ought to go. We've got a lot going on in this nation, a lot of bad things. The young 15-year-old, it was assassinated, and that's what it was, by a policeman in Chicago. It's a shame. But the answer is not violence. There was a man, not of my race, but of the heart that I carry, that advocated change, but without violence, and his name was Martin Luther King Jr. He gave his great speech about, "I have a dream." Some heard it and honored his authority and honored that. And tragically, the enemy had a plan. And right here in Memphis, Tennessee, it took the life of such a great man. I must say, I don't want to dishonor him, but not a perfect man, but a great man. A man that had core values about it, and he stood up for it. Train up a child in the way they are to go. We're forfeiting our rights. We're warning the government to cause our children to be educated and perfect and to have all their ducks in a row, we might say, and do all of it. And it's the same thing that goes on in church. Many people bring their children, some of the children possibly, I hope I'm wrong, but possibly, that just went out to our children's church, the parents are wanting us to get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and make them perfect. Let me tell you what our children ministers are doing. They're doing their part. They're trying to reinforce what you've been teaching those children all week. God is looking for a house like this, a family like this, a group of people like this, a multi-ethnic group of people that will care about our young people. Parents, I've got a word from heaven that you need to hear today. It's not only okay, it's necessary to tell your children no. It's not just okay, it is necessary. I want to make it stronger. It's not necessary, it's essential. How many of you know the difference between necessary and essential? In August in Memphis, air conditioning is necessary. Right? But air to breathe is essential. There's a difference. You can go two or three nights. If the electricity goes off or your unit breaks down or something like that, you can bear through that. We don't want to. In fact, I'm old school, and the old timers used to call air conditioned sweet air. I knew my great grandmother Styles, and she would say, you know, y'all just need to turn some of that sweet air on. Amen. And when it's running, it's pretty sweet, especially in the humidity that we have. Are you hearing me today? Children are a gift from God. You know, I was one of only two, and I wasn't even raised around my sister, but I was raised around a lot of children. I tell people part of my testimony is, and I'm going to write a book on it one of these days, my father had me raised. I was as close to maturity as you could be in adulthood by the time I was 14 years old. And then he turned me loose and he began to raise other people's children who were having trouble with them. That's who my dad was. He was a father. It's reading that thing's on me. It's on my grandson. It's on my son. It's on my daughters because of who we are. Say this with me. Children are a gift from God. In Psalms 127, verse 3, it says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. We are blessed to have children. We are so blessed. I look as my children are becoming more mature and older. And I see the value in them and being around. As I look around at the spiritual sons and daughters that are in this house, you know, I just have to say this. Deanna, I've been so proud of you. What you've walked through is not easy. But as much as you've hurt and as many tears that you've shed, you've chosen to go on with God. Which proves to me that what she has is not just simply a learned behavior and a belief system, but a relationship. I get so tired. You know, this week, not here, but somewhere else, a couple that I know had a grandchild born full term, only to find out that when the child had turned to make his entrance, the cord was wrapped around his neck and this child was born dead. I can't tell you I know what they're feeling. I've never lost a child. I've walked quite a few families through this situation. You get a little glimpse when you do that, but can I tell you some words that I've almost removed from my vocabulary? I don't say to people anymore, I know what you're going through. There are some things I know what you're going through because I've gone through it, but there's many things I don't know what you're going through. But I look at the situation, the loss of this family, and it will prove over the next few months of whether they have a relationship with God or they have a belief system about God, they have a form of godliness but deny the power. I got news for you. Bad things happen to good people. When God's word says it rains on the just and the unjust, it is true. You know, every time I posted this week, I saw $1.69 gas this week, and I saw $1.99 diesel this week. Wow, back to the future. Man, I saw one of the greatest things on Facebook here a few weeks ago when it was having Back to the Future Day. It showed a picture of the Back to the Future actors. I can't think of what their name is now. Michael Fox. And he said to the professor, whatever the guy's name, he said, "Man, I went to the year 2030 and there was still construction in West Memphis, Arkansas." I have to tell you, I thought that was hilarious. I've lived here all my life, and it's less construction right now than I've ever seen it in West Memphis, Arkansas. But it's still something going on. How many of you find that as humorous as I do? Children. I don't want to emphasize, but it said sons are a heritage, but children are a reward. It's important. My oldest is my daughter. She's here. She's a blessing. Someone that knew her husband, doesn't even know her. I was around them yesterday and asked how you were doing. And your brother and I was standing there, and we both, at the same time, simultaneously, this is what came out. She's amazing. That doesn't mean after the loss of her husband, she doesn't have her moments and there's not times that you know, she wonders what the future looks like. I don't know all what goes through her head. But the one thing that I can tell you, when you have a relationship, no matter what comes your way, you don't throw the towel in. 20-some-hundred ministers a month, pastors and ministers a month quit the ministry. That blows my mind. I can't do anything else. Well, my wife said I could. I don't want to do anything else. I mean, I got it made. You know, most preachers work 2 hours a week. 1 hour on Wednesday night and 1 hour on Sunday morning. And Dan does the Wednesday. I only work 1 hour a week. I got it made. When I woke up this morning, one of the pastors in our network is struggling. Had been up since 2 o'clock, and he said, "The moment you get up, I just need to talk to you. I need to hear your voice." This person has been in ministry longer than I've been saved, but I'm now becoming a spiritual father to a person many years older than me. I don't know why, but you know, so I spent about 45 minutes on the phone, and you know, I dealt with it, and I helped him, and I encouraged, and I spoke things. Children. In Matthew 18 and verse 5 and 6, "And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name, in my character, my authority, my nature, welcomes me. But if anyone causes the little one to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." I'm not addressing any particular race here, but I'm telling you, this fatherless homes, there's a lot of people who are going to give an account. They're going to stand. There will be a judgment seat of Christ one day, and they're going to stand there. Anybody can beget children, and that's both male and female. But it takes parents that care, that will step up and be responsible and to pour into them. As gifts from God, we must realize that children are precious jewels. They first belong to God, and then secondly us. We must always bear that in mind. God will hold us accountable for the way we raise our children. He gives you some of our duties. In Deuteronomy 6 and 7, you find this. I'm not going to read the scripture, but we're to teach them. I can't remember, was it here or somewhere else, but The other day, I was putting my belt on, and I can remember the first time. I don't know why I can remember. I probably wasn't 3 or 4 years old, and my dad stood me up on a bed. I can tell you exactly where it was. I remember looking in his eye, and he taught me how to put my belt through my loops. And one of the things he taught me, this center loop back here, run your thumb through it, and then run it from this side, and let that thumb grab it and pull it through and bring it around. I remember that. See, teaching is not just things that we understand. Teaching is learning. We need to teach young men how to honor young women. We need to teach young men how to defend the young women who are pure. You know, the way it's become now, they pass the name around of those who are easier. There's no respect. Tragic things happen. Please do not hear me wrong. But some of the young people that are getting in trouble with the police have never been taught to respect the authority because their parents doesn't respect them. Some young people that get in trouble in school. How many school teachers? Do we have any school teachers here? They get in trouble in school because their parents run down all the teachers and all the principal, and their children never do any wrong. Somebody's thinking, I didn't come to church to be preached on this. There's enough power in this room, we can make a difference in the Mid-South. People, parents need to understand that their children's perception, that teacher's mistreating me, and that can happen. But not every teacher is evil and bad, and not every policeman is evil and bad, and not every child is evil and bad. Isn't it amazing how our children that are good, that are understand authority and respect authority, get penalized by those that don't? There's a company in Silicon Valley that has now did away with all the company rules. They realized that what they had did, every rule that they had at the company had to do, were put in force because of the bad employees. So they let all the bad employees and they did away with all the rules. You can have as many days off a year as you want as long as you keep your work done. This is true. Do you realize that a lot of what goes on in corporate America is because of the bad apples out there? I remember one time my dad told me, we had about 50 people on the payroll. I think it was 48. He said, we got a bad apple in the bunch. And he said, it's hurting the work morale of all the other men. I want you to find out who it is. I want you to let them go. You give them a good severance, but you get them away from us because our work efficiency's got to go to another level. And the young man it ended up being had just had his first baby. And as ungodly as I was in those days and hard-hearted and everything, I still had a tenderness, you know, with it. And I went back to my dad and I told him who it was. And I said, I know, Dad, I'm going to let him go and I'm going to do what you said, but can we double his severance? He said, if you'll do it this way. He said, you tell him we'll pay him for up to 4 weeks or when he gets a job. We're not going beyond 4 weeks. We're going to give him 2 weeks severance pay. And that was huge back in the 70s. Huge. And when I let him go, I told him, we'll give you four. But you need to go and get a job. And I went and found him a job. I found him a truck driving job. And he went to work after the second week and got him a job with that. But can I tell you what? Our work efficiency went to and effectiveness went to a whole other level. See, some of you work with people that are hurting the company. I love saying this. They're not your paper clips. They belong to FedEx. They're not your whatever, your paper. That's not your copy machine. But they owe me. They don't pay me enough. No, that is a slaved, servant, entitled mindset. And if you give it to your children, we'll never turn this nation. I'm preaching good. Yeah.
Parents are God to your children. We are God to our children until they get old enough that God becomes their God. We are God. We not just represent God. We are God to them. We love our kids because of the way God loves us. We want to give to our children because God wants to give to us. So when we think we're being good and doing everything right, it's because of how God treats us. And so if we'll understand that we are God, then that means we have a responsibility. And as parents, we really need to take on more responsibility. Because, you know, when we minister to people all the time, they'll say, well, when I was little, all this stuff happened. Where was God? Well, their parents, who were supposed to be God, was nowhere around. And so all this bad stuff happens. So there is a responsibility for us to be God and represent God and His goodness, His provision, His protection, all that He has.
Train up a child. There's a difference between teaching someone and training them. Sometimes when Matt comes over and helps me with my Apple computer, I'll say to him, I don't want you to sit down and do it. Tell me what to do. That's the difference between teaching someone and training someone. Teaching can just be instructional, verbal usage of telling you how to do something. But training is when you allow them to have some application. We are to train up children. Part of training is teaching how to respect authority, even when it's wrong. I've had opportunity before I was born again and after I was born again with road cops. I had one in Oceanside, California. And I'm telling you, it was a very, very serious situation. And you know what? I had every right to defend myself, to do everything. But I discerned. I had some maturity, and I knew. And finally, the policeman who was searching my 18-wheeler came back there and saw what was taking place from this young rookie cop. And he said, you go up and search his truck. And they were searching my truck for drugs. And when he left and got out of hearing, the road cop, the rookie cop, the older, mature cop said to me, you're a Christian, aren't you? And I said, yeah. He said, I saw your Phil Driscoll tapes up there. He said, I saw all the Christian material inside your truck. He said, let me just tell you, this guy's got a bad name already. He said, don't push him. He'll hurt you. And I didn't do anything to push him. Listen, that was maturity. That was wisdom. And we've got to train up our young people. Yes, the court systems are corrupt. Yes, they're a thing. They're a reason, but it still doesn't, it's not wise to put your life on the line. Are you hearing me? Train them up. Number three. This is important. Provide for them. Now let me share something with you. Every whim they get is not necessarily essential. Back in the 80s when we were pioneering churches and it was tough. I mean, we literally went for 6 years. There was nothing new. No new garment of clothing purchased in our house. I'm not boasting to you. It's just that we didn't fuss about it. I remember when we started to prosper. The first thing we did when we first started to prosper, it wasn't Dairy Queen. We went to the Tasty Freeze. It was homegrown. And we were shocked. We carried the kids. And we told them, you can get anything. You know, you can get burgers. You can get ice cream. You can do it. We had some money. And we were shocked at the way people, I remember one thing, how they were dressed at the Tasty Freeze. God is our provider. Provide for them. But I also remember telling my sons when Nikes and Reebok came along and they hit that almost $100. And I remember telling him, I said, well, son, I wore Converses. I think they're back in style now when I was a kid. They were just black and white. You know, they were retro, you know, with it. I mean, you know, and I mean, sometimes we even got them from an older cousin, you know, and the toe jam. No, I didn't say that. It came with it. See, some of the young people in this room, they're not listening right now because it's been Easy Street. How many of you parents want to have more authority in your children's life? Let me give you a definition of authority. Authority is responsibility motivated by love. You know why some of these parents don't have the authority in their children? Not because they won't take responsibility for their actions. This was many, many years ago when I was a young, rebellious teenager, but the first time I was ever arrested for public drunkenness. The young rookie policeman arrested me in our hometown, had me behind the bars. Two senior policemen came in, hollered back there and asked him, his name was Ronnie Mack, and said, hey, Ronnie Mack, who you got back there? Oh, I got Clay Nash. Robert Geddes was one of the older policemen. He hollered back there. He said, you better get him out of that cell. We don't arrest him. And the young rookie called back up there. He said, what do you mean we don't arrest him? He was publicly drunk. That's Bob Nash's boy. We don't arrest him. But what do? Is what the young rookie cop said. We call his daddy. I was listening to this conversation. I was locked in a cell. I felt quite safe. And when he come back and unlocked that cell and was bringing me out of that cell, I said, please leave me in here locked and don't let my dad in. And my dad showed up and he got serious. Yeah. My dad could take me by my left shoulder and take a cowboy boot and raise me, pull him off the ground. The only reason I didn't go into the next universe is because he had his hand on my shoulder. And right there in that police, front of that police station, we went round and round. My feet would come completely off the ground. And can I tell you what? If he's here today while he's preaching, I would thank him for it. Because it wasn't abuse, it was love. When I'm around children that have respect and young teenagers that show respect and respect authority, they're just simply giving off the image of who their parents are. Amen. Train him up. Teach him. Provide. All of these are important. Let me give you two more. Actually, three more. Nurture them. What does that mean? I'd love to do a men's retreat, Dan, and just go through old movies and just get clips. There's one, I don't remember names of movies, don't remember actors, but he'd been an old rodeo guy, and he comes home, and his dad's standing in the bathroom door, and he's shaving down with a straight razor. I mean, he's a grown man, he's 40-some years old, he's broke all to pieces from riding bulls, and his dad said, boy, I never taught you to shave down, I always taught you to shave up. See, our young people need to be nurtured in that way. My dad taught me how to check the oil in vehicles. He taught me how to, you know, back in our day, we had to put water in batteries. You remember this, Larry. You got enough gray in the top of your head. If we didn't keep water in it, the alternator would dry it out. Some of you don't even know, understand what we're talking about. Just go down to AutoZone and get another battery. Nurturing is more so. It's about those things. You know, and can I tell you, I fail my wife. I don't open the door always for her. But can I tell you what? When I was growing up, I can remember many men going around the other side of the car and opening the door and helping their girlfriend or their wife get in. And and close the door. I want to tell you something. That's not a bad thing to be nurtured in. I was somewhere in Brazil when I was preaching in Brazil. Every time a woman went to come off the platform, somebody jumped up and ran there and would hold her hand as she was coming down. It's called honor. And we need a society of honor to come again, nurture them. Listen to this. Here's one. In 1 Timothy 3 and 4, rule them. You don't have to rule them with a fist. You don't have to rule them with a rod of iron. But rule them. You know why they're not afraid of some parents' authority? It's because all it is threatened. If you don't stop doing this, I'm going to do this, and then you never back it up. I remember one of the first times, it might have been that time that I got picked up for public grump, but my dad set me down. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he was lecturing me. And I asked him when he got through, I said, "Dad, when you finish this lecture, are you still going to whoop me?" I mean, I was probably 16 years old, 15 years old. He said, "Yeah, I sure am." Might have been younger than that, come to think of. But anyway, and I said, "Well, let's save both of us time. Just go and whoop me now. I don't need the lecture." It got serious. But it helped me. How many of you think back and it helped you? I had a nanny, a babysitter, and I would be, you know, I just was born to try the authority. I mean, I'm not proud of that. I wasn't. She would make me go pull a limb off the willow tree and pull all the leaves off of it and stack it in the corner and said, "Your mother's going to be home in a little while." Can I tell you what? Ooh. And if Mama got home and found out what I did, and she said, "I'm not even going to use that switch over. I'm going to wait till your daddy gets home." I'm telling you, the fear of God and the devil came into my heart. I mean, I stood there in fear and trembling, wondering what was going to happen when Dad got home. When I was young, most of you know, I was paralyzed for 7 months and laid in Le Bonheur Hospital. And my mother was always worried about me afterwards, and she didn't want me to fight at school. And, you know, back in those days, just a good little fist fight was, it just part of growing up. And I remember the first time I got in a fist fight, it was with a guy named Eddie Gillum. We're friends on Facebook today. And I came home, and Mama told me, and she said, "I'm not even going to spank you. I'm going to have your daddy do it." My dad carried me back in my bedroom and took his belt on the bed, and him and I laughed about it. He said, "Don't ever let him run over you, boy." He taught me not how to be a bully, but how to stand my ground. But we stood it in a way. We didn't go and do a drive-by shooting. Put it out on Facebook. That's a cowardless way of dealing with problems. I just read where somebody lost an uncle, and I think it was in Atlanta due to a drive. I didn't know him. I have a lot of friends on Facebook that I don't really know who they are. And then last but not least, love them. There's nothing like love. But true love says no. True love tans their hide. True love takes the car away from them. True love makes you finish high school. My senior year of high school, my trucking company grossed $500,000. I mean, I had the world by a tail. I mean, I was in good position. And I remember several times. In fact, I missed my senior year of high school. I missed 42 days. I missed so much school that I had to go in every morning at 6 o'clock and sit with the superintendent, the principal of the school, and make up hours. But my dad would put his finger in the face and said, "You're going to finish high school. I can't make you go to college, but you're going to finish high school. Yet parents give in. And they let their children live any way they want to, and they let them do things. My last scripture, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. When we do this, we can faithfully help our children become arrows that God can use to strike fear in the heart of his enemy and destroy his kingdom. I don't know about you, my heart is to change this younger generation. There's a young man here today, Buck. I hadn't seen you in a while. But I want you to know, I keep up with you through your dad, and I pray for you. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud you're working a job. I'm proud you're trying to make a difference. I want you to know I honor you today. I've known this young man for 20. How old are you? I've known him since he was born. And life has not dealt him the best hand of cards, and the hardships have come and disappointments have come. But I keep seeing him try to do right. Children. Here's what I want to close with, and we're going to do the baby dedication. Will you covenant with me let's add to the vision, but let's this next year let's invest a lot more into our children and youth, and let's pour into them and help them. You know, I just recently met a young man. Just we were somewhere, and his father introduced me to him, and he shook my hand, and he had a good, and he had respect, and he called me sir. And with that, can I tell you, kids are not born to know that; they learn that when we train them. Will you? Can we do this? Let's make a difference in Memphis. Let's make a difference with our young women. Some of you young mothers, maybe even some of you mothers that didn't make the best decision when you were a young girl, you can help these young girls make the right decision. You don't have to look for love in all the wrong places. You don't have to get yourself into that position of where, you know, I've never seen it so desperate of how the young women need, they don't feel like they are have any identity unless they got some young man hanging on their. You know what that's a sign of? They don't have Christ. They don't have a relationship with Christ. Christ can complete you and hold you and keep you until he sends that man into your life that's supposed to be there. We can make a difference together. Children, they're a gift. Amen? They're also a challenge. I'm just joking, but we can certainly find from God's word that Isaac wasn't a teenager. Because if he had been, Abraham would have probably just went ahead and killed him. Children are going to try you. See, there's a period of time, you know, Dan and Vicki can remember it with their son Nate and their son Ken. I'm sure you can with y'all's children when they move out from serving your God into serving their God. Dutch Sheet teaches a great method. He calls it becoming a Hebrew, because the first time that Abraham was called Abraham the Hebrew was when he left his father's house and he began to move out. And there's always that vulnerability time during that period of when they move out to discovering your God as their God. But only when they do are they able to stand up.